The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got to do this.
Yeah, we got to do this.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158, Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Hello.
In the house. Jensen Lewis will join us momentarily to talk college baseball, College World Series. Down to eight. Now the double elimination part of it. We'll get Jensen's thoughts on all of that. Jay Kahn on tonight's Stanley Cup Final, game number five. With that series knotted up at two games apiece between the Carolina Hurricanes and the Vegas Golden Knights. Carolina, pretty substantial favorite in Game 5 tonight. Back in Carolina, back in Raleigh. Zach Cohen on the NBA Finals. We'll see if he has any grass court tennis left on the slate today. And then some more World Cup. We are but 5 hours away from the beginning of the World Cup. Get your Survivor entries in. Get your bets in.
Let's go.
Paul Carr will join us. More World Cup with him coming up on the show. And then, of course, it is Thursday. You know what that means. Unscripted with Crack Man Bill Krakenberger. That does not change.
I have I've officially fired too much on the World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm involved now.
I haven't gone crazy. But have I fired too much? Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Last night, let us begin with it. Oh, my God. What was that? The San Antonio Spurs cough up eight. Let me just start this way. Let's say, Kelly, just hypothetically, you made a bet on the Spurs to win the NBA title. I don't know, on Christmas Day at about 19-1.
That sounds like a smart time to make a bet on the Spurs.
And somebody came to you from the future and they said, hey, you know that bet you made on Christmas Day? You took down the Oklahoma City Thunder. And
this is sounding like a better bet now.
And you ended up with double-digit leads in the first four games of the NBA finals, including a 29-point lead in game four. What would you be like? I'd be like, give me my money. Oh, we didn't sweep him. Okay, well, I'll just wait till game five because a gentleman sweep. I get it, right?
Gentleman sweep.
No problem.
Give him one more.
And then the person says to you, yeah, no. And you're like, what? We had a 29-point lead in one of those games. Surely we won that game. At the most, you mean the Knicks knotted this up at two apiece despite all of that? And you'd be like, and they'd be like, no. And then you'd be like, oh, you'd be like, you a damn lie. This can't possibly be. Ladies and gentlemen, the superlatives will not stop on this this recap. The San Antonio Spurs blow a 29-point lead, as you very well know. Knicks beat them 107-106, and in an impossible result last night. Spurs up 14-10, then they go on an 8-0 run on their way to a 41-22 lead after the first quarter. A 27-12 close to the frame. 21, their biggest lead in the quarter. At that point, the Spurs were 15 of 23 from the field, 6 of 10 from behind the arc, 65.2% shooting. The Knicks were 5 of 17 from the field, 29.4% shooting. The Knicks had 12 free throw attempts. They were 10 of 12. The Spurs were just 5 for 5. So all the people who have the Knicks backers who were like complaining about the refs, hey, look, he's coming back. You guys getting all the free throws. Second quarter. Spurs got the lead to as many as 29, 71-42. They led 76-49 at the half, a 27-point lead. The third largest halftime lead in NBA Finals history, only the 85 Celtics and the 20 bubble Lakers had bigger leads at the half of an NBA Finals game, 30 and 28 respectively. This was 27.
Well, this is over.
It's over, right? Wembanyama, 16 points, Vassell, 15, Harper, 15, Brunson, 19, but again, on 14 shots. We talked about this all week.
Yeah, right? And like the thing that will be forgotten, right, Gil? The Knicks falling apart. Right, Karl Anthony Towns is in foul trouble. Like this is everything that could go wrong for the Knicks seemingly has gone wrong for the Knicks.
Halftime shooting percentages: Spurs 59.6% for the field, 53.8% from behind the arc. 14 of 26, the most made threes in any half in an NBA Finals. Knicks 15 of 23 from the line. Spurs 6 of 6. Hey, look, the Knicks had 17 more free throw attempts. I don't hear any Knicks fans complaining about that. Only two San Antonio turnovers. Third quarter, 81-52. I did the math. That's 29 again, Kelly. The Knicks go on a 13-0 run to cut it to 16, 81-65 as part of a overall 23-9 run to close that quarter. That cut it to 15. So essentially, almost cutting it directly in half, right? 90-75 at the end of three. And if you're a Spurs fan, a Spurs backer, it's still 15, right? You're like, it's 15. Like, everybody calm down. By the way, I'm speaking to nobody when I say this. Everybody calm down. 90 to 75.
Oh, it took me, as Spurs backers, Gil, it took me a very long time before I was nervous
me
about
too.
This.
Me too. I'll tell you when I got nervous, though. 99-88, Brunson hits two free throws. Champagne misses a three. Steele, Vassell misses a three. Why so many threes?
Because they won.
Brunson layup, 99-92 now. Fox misses a step back. Ananobi three, 99-95 with 4:34 left. And that is when I officially became nervous. A 20-4 run for the Knicks at this point. Now, at this point, I sort of also noticed, let me see now. The Spurs scored 41 in the first quarter. They scored 35 in the second quarter. And with 4:34 left in regulation, they had 24 in the second half in its entirety. De'Aaron Fox, though, quiets the naysayers in the crowd with a three. Alvarado layup, though. Wemby jumper. Alvarado three. We're back to four at 104-100. Fox misses a three. Why so many threes? Knicks ball down four. Brunson three. Good, because of course it is. 104-103 with just over 2 minutes left. And then Fox, caught in midair, throws it away. Hart steal. The Knicks are going to take a lead, but he botches the layup.
Incredible.
Oh, my God. Wemby fouled. Misses both. By the way, let's not forget about that moment.
Oh, yeah.
Wembanyama missed both free throws there. Toit. He was toit with 1:47 left. Brunson, floater, good. Knicks, 105-104. Their first lead of the night. Did I mention they were down 29? Did that come up?
Yeah. This game was over.
Castle then steps out of bounds with 102 to go, even though he didn't step out of bounds on replay. If that were a Knick player, we wouldn't hear the end of it. Then a Knicks 24-second shot clock violation with 38.8 left. Spurs down one. Timeout Spurs. Fox, jumper, no good, but Castle flies in and is fouled on the follow-up. And, of course, he hits both because he's ice. Got ice in his veins. 106-105, Spurs with 30.3 seconds left. Castle 8 of 8 from the line. Then Brunson misses a floater, banks off the board. The ball's batted down court. And with just over 12 seconds left, you see De'Aaron Fox, fastest player on the court. He's going to get the basketball. Remember, the Spurs are up one. Doesn't need to shoot. Shoots anyway. Goes up for a layup. Blocked by Ananobi. Why did he shoot? Knicks rebound. As Charles Barkley said after the game, quote, "That was a dumbass play. He did not have to shoot that ball."
No, he did not.
Knicks call timeout with 5.7 seconds left after Alvarado almost commits a backcourt violation, by the way.
Yep.
I thought in real time it was. His 2 feet were across the line, but the ball never did, so it is not a backcourt violation.
Pretty sure he didn't know that either.
I'm pretty sure he did not. Again, all of these things had to happen, if any one of them doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
The Spurs went. Brunson. It, by the way, this is the other one. So the Knicks have it with 5.7 seconds left, pardon me, down a point. This will get lost in history, too. Brunson with an inexplicable 31-footer, like a second into it. What was that? No good. But you know what happens. OJ Ananobi comes flying in, unimpeded, tips it in with 1.2 left, 107-106 Knicks. The Spurs make a mess of the subsequent inbounds. Ball game. It's the greatest comeback in NBA Finals history. Remember all those stats I was telling you about the Spurs shooting in the first half and the first quarter specifically? The Spurs in the second half, and honestly, this baloncesto is a very simple game sometimes. The orange sphere has to go into the orange circle, the orange cylinder. The Spurs were 8 of 39 in the second half. Let me repeat that. The Spurs made 8 field goals in the entire second half. 8 of 39, 20.51%. By the way, they were 2 of 14 in the paint in the second half.
Barely even tried.
What's that?
Barely even tried to get in the paint.
Brunson, that's right. Brunson, 36 points, but on 25 shots. Ananobi, on the other hand, 33 points, 10 of 15 from the field. Wembanyama, 24-13 to defeat. Harper, 21. Fox, 18. Vassell, 18. Again, the first quarter, 41 points for the Spurs. Second quarter, 35. Entire second half, 30.
8 field goals, 9 turnovers.
Let's just do it by halves. First half, 76 points for the Spurs, 30 in the second half. That's impossible. If you had the Spurs team total over, it's the worst beat you'll ever have in your entire life.
Yep.
Spurs 14 of 26 first half from behind the arc, 3 of 17 second half, 2 turnovers first half, 9 turnovers second half. Let's just look at some of the superlatives, shall we? OptiStats. The Spurs are the only team in NBA history to have 76 or more points in the first half, 30 or fewer points in the second half. As I was just saying, the worst team total beat in the history of man in any game, regular season or playoffs, by the way. 76 or more points in the first half, 30 in the second. Josh Dubow. Teams down 20-plus points in the postseason the last 2 years.
This is incredible.
The Knicks are 5-3 straight up. The rest of the NBA is 4-71.
It's incredible, man.
I mean, what are you supposed to do? Just keep them coming, Danny. They're just all these are...
I mean, like, this is where I said, like, I wasn't worried till too late, Gil. Yeah. I should have been worried earlier because the Knicks keep doing this.
Kirthika Uthaya Kumar, NBA teams were 4-750. Went down by 20 or more in the fourth quarter of a playoff game over the last 30 years. They're now 5-750. The Knicks come back from 20 in the fourth quarter. The second time they've come back from down 20 in the fourth this postseason. And on till the break of dawn.
It's insane.
By the way, Jacob K. adds, the Knicks trailed by 17 points with less than 9 minutes to go. Entering today, teams were 0-96 when trailing by 17-plus points in the final 9 minutes of regulation of a finals game since 1970-71. The Knicks have just made that 1-96. And it should be pointed out that teams leading 3-1 in the NBA Finals have won the championship 37 of 38 times. The only exception, of course, that 2016 Cavaliers team that took down the Warriors. Yep, that happened. Game 5, Saturday night, back in San Antonio. Coming back with Jensen Lewis, College Baseball next. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Championship season is here. VSiN Pro can help you bet it smarter. For a limited time, lock in early bird pricing on our football season special for just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get. With full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl, that means the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final, World Cup, plus MLB all season long. That's all summer long as well. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. And on June 22nd, 11 days from now, we'll release our NFL betting guide to attack futures, win totals, division races, and the full season ahead. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets beating the book, Duck Fan for Life. Gil and Kelly, during the recap, it's okay to express intense anger about the game last night. Most of us are feeling the same way. I think we convey that.
Oh, yeah.
Shrek McPhee, Fox had to have thought they were down one and not up one, right? J.R. Smith-esque blunder. Amazing. They should be going for the 4-1 closeout in San Antonio. It's the other way around. You know what? Darren Fox said he just wanted to score. He knew they were up one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He just wanted to get it in. He thought he could beat Ananobi to the rack.
You know, it's one of those, like, it's not... To me, it's not horrible, but you have to be 100% sure you're making that bucket.
Yes, it's in the pantheon of blunders in sports history, it does not rank up top 10.
In the pantheon of De'Aaron Fox blunders in the game, I don't even know if it's in the top 3.
But still, Las Vegas 514, yo. I know that one Josh Hart will be indebted to OG Anunoby for life.
Yes.
If the Knicks had lost, oh boy. He even said that after the game.
He said those exact words.
Yeah, Nemo, Ryan's voice. We've all had bets we shouldn't have won. We've all had bets we shouldn't have lost. Last night's game, everyone had that experience. How exhilarating. Real Knicks, two things I learned last night. One, OG is MVP of this series. Yes, if the Knicks win, he is. If they give it to Brunson, if the Knicks win, again, based on everything we were just talking about, how many shots it takes for Brunson to get his points, they really are brain-dead voters. Two, these are the two greatest combined NBA-NHL finals in my 50-plus years of watching sports, he says. Money Gun Guz, I won 2 tickets to the quarterfinals at Gillette Stadium. Would Paul Carr have any idea of what teams could end up playing in that game? Thanks. All right. Tim Bowers, with Spurs futures while watching the lead cut down to 20 in the third, I had a weird feeling and chose to get some needed Z's. At least I bet the Spurs first quarter.
Yeah, that was nice.
Stringfellow Hawk had under 231 and a half in game, placed middle of the second quarter, tailing primetime. Had to get up at 1 a.m., turned it off 2 minutes in the third, checked the score when I got up. WTF. Gordon died. Did Missoula step in and take over coaching responsibilities in the second half?
Yep.
Rick Olia, you know what? Good for the Knicks and their fans. I can't think of a better, more humble, down-to-earth group than Knicks fans. Truly salt of the earth, folks. Surely no other fan base on earth deserves to get 3-1. Eh? Eh? Peaches, yo, Peaches. Gil, it's been a while. Do West Philly fans finally get a pass on not being the biggest troublemaking fan base? You kind of do. Jensen Lewis joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is the co-host of By the Books, which precedes us each and every morning. He and Captain America Dave Ross do it each and every Monday through Friday. Jensen can be found on Twitter at JLou50. Jensen, good morning.
Good morning, boys. I was one of the beneficiaries of waking up and realizing I can't believe what I just saw. So I will take it. That it made up for losing the Nationals money line and the Dodgers alternate run line yesterday. So I guess I'm about even with those two wins.
Mike Kruko on the Giants call. Now I'm warning all the affiliates. I'm just quoting Mike Kruko on the Giants broadcast. Dwayne Kuiper, Mike Kruko do this great job on Giants games. They're beloved by the entire Bay Area. And at 10-7, when Bryce Eldridge gets the play with the bases juiced, nobody out in the ninth inning, Dwayne Kuiper says something about, oh, if he hits this one out, it'll be more than just the tarp out. And Mike Kruko quipped back. He said, he immediately goes, oh, it'll be more than just the tarp out. It'll be Trout down and blanks out. I won't say what he said. I think I'm allowed to say the word, but I won't say it anyway, just in case. Yeah. Unbelievable call. And then, of course, the rest is history. So on the one hand, I'm sorry. On the other hand, good for you. Forgetting it. What about baseball today? MLB, let's start there. What do you have today for us?
A lot of overs here, Gil, and we're starting to get to that point in the calendar where heat and humidity are going to be pretty prevalent. I know we've gotten it here in Northeast Ohio and pretty much over the Midwest. So we'll start in the American League Central. Twins and Tigers, afternoon affair there, Comerica. Zebby Matthews against Cater Montero. I played an over 9 at minus $1.23. Minnesota 14-8-1 to the over as a road dog, which they are today. Four of the eight home starts this year by Cater Montero have seen 9 or more runs scored combined in those games. So I think we get some more offense there this afternoon. Also in the American League Central, the Royals hosting the Rangers. We get there with an over yesterday in extra innings. Much to the chagrin of my cohort, Dave Ross, who is on the Royals for most wins in June. They find another way to give one away. I do think we get more scoring this afternoon. I played an alternate over 9.5 at minus $1.37. That is Kumar Rocker, Michael Wacha in that game. Rangers have actually been averaging over 5.1 runs per game offensively in their last 11. And the Royals in their last 9 have had 10 or more runs scored on average in those games. So I think those are two great over spots to back with AL Central teams today.
Marlins are taking on the D-backs. The Marlins, by the way, because everybody called this, are winning June across Major League Baseball. The best record in June. They're taking on the Diamondbacks. Another over for you in that one?
Yeah, it'll be indoors, so we'll have the dome closed, the heat and humidity down there in South Beach. But again, I'm with you. Miami, 5.5 runs a game offensively in June. Big reason why they have only lost one time in the calendar month. Arizona, equal to the task in the scoring department. They are 14-8-2 to the over as a road dog. That's Merrill Kelly and Tyler Phillips. Again, another alternate over 8. Gil, I just like spitting the hook on a lot of these totals, especially playing overs. I don't want to get beat by it, so I traditionally will swallow a little bit more juice on those alternate overs. So that's an over 8 at minus $1.31 here this afternoon.
All right, Jensen, we might as well make it a full 5 here on overs. Dodgers, Pirates, and Mariners, O's as well.
Two ridiculous stats for you, Gil. First, Dodgers and Pirates, which, again, the insanity of yesterday after Shohei Ohtani leaves that game is something that should be chronicled. But we are in no way looking at a run suppression outing today. Dodgers offensively have averaged 6.6 runs of support in Justin Robleski starts this year, and the Pirates aren't too shabby when Mitch Keller takes the mound, and even 5 runs of support for them. So we'll play an over 8.5. A little more juice on that at minus $1.51. I'm seeing 9s and 9.5s out there. Still would be fine if you want to play those totals as they stand. And then the Mariners and the Orioles have seen a lot of crooked numbers in this series as well. It is weird to play an over when it's Brian Wu on the hill against Kyle Bradish. But You have had 10 or more runs combined in the last two road starts by Wu for the Mariners. You've had 10 or more runs combined in three consecutive starts by Kyle Bradish for the Orioles. I'm not going to get in front of this freight train, so I'll just ride the highs here. A little bit of a suppressed total, and I understand why with the two aces on the mound, but I think we get runs in earnest headed in tonight for that series finale.
All right, an overfest. Jensen firing. Okay, let's go to the College World Series. We are down to eight, two brackets of four, double elimination. You have an Ole Miss ticket at 60-1. Let's just sort of get to heat check on that. How are you feeling about that?
I would have felt a lot better if Southern Cal, who I had at 50-1, could have eliminated North Carolina, because then I'm staring at one of those massive tickets headed in to a 1-0 matchup with the top of the bracket, which will be West Virginia and Troy. Let me tell you, the country roads have taken me home, and they have taken this group to Middle America. This is like Team of Destiny feel for me right now, Gil. They're one of the better pitching teams in the entire country. They led the Big 12 in staff ERA, ninth nationally in that category. And if you look traditionally at Charles Schwab Field, it has been much more of a pitcher's park due to the wind that usually blows in from right field. It's tended to favor teams with strong pitching, and there are three of them in the field this year that are top 15 in Division I in ERA. I mentioned West Virginia at 3.79, North Carolina right behind them at 3.86, and then Texas. The Longhorns are just a shade over four in the ERA category. I traditionally like to back some of those teams with much better pitching staffs. It's a lot harder to hit the ball out. We were there last year. It is a real thing. Even as hot and humid as it was, if you can have run suppression, you've done it for the majority of the season, usually you see those teams have a great chance to advance into the second week.
Troy have any chance here, Jensen?
They do. Skylar Meade, by the way, just be tuned in for his interviews in the dugout. I don't know if it'll be Chris Budden or Taylor McGregor. I think it might be T-Mac in the early game. He's hysterical to listen to. Oh, by the way, he's played in the College World Series. I think it's him and Mike Bianco, the two head coaches, Bianco there with Ole Miss, that have had playing experience there in the College World Series. I would say, Gil, at the end of Saturday, so once everyone's had a chance to play, teams that start 0-1, there's only four teams, I believe, in the past 44 College World Series that have lost their opening game and then bounced back to win the title. You have to go back to Oregon State in 2018 and 2006, and in South Carolina in 2010, USC in 1998. So if you don't jump in right away in the futures market, teams that go 1-0, those are the teams you want to focus on. Much more difficult to come out of the loser's bracket.
That is a very solid handicapping note. And is that because the level of starting pitcher drops off so dramatically, would you say, from game 1 to 2?
I would say the use of the pitching staff, Gil. You got to expend so many more resources in double elimination format to get back into that winner's side. So you get a day off, couple of days off when you stay in that winner's bracket. Massive advantage moving forward.
Makes sense. Jensen, thank you so much. Thanks for staying up late. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks, boys.
Jensen Lewis, the beneficiary on the Knicks yesterday.
Money line and under. Let's go.
Good on him. And the under. Let's talk some hockey. Stanley Cup Final with Jay Khan next on a...
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin.
Hey-o.
In the house. Y'all really want your say this morning, and we give it to you. Paulie68 on Twitter. I might be Captain Obvious when I say OG is now right there for MVP, but do people realize he's shooting 50% from three in the playoffs? Oh, and averaging 20 per game versus the Raptors didn't need him. Jeez Louise. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. If the Knicks...
Incredible run.
And by the way, when I say this, if the Knicks win, if they end up winning and they don't give it to OG, they give it to Brunson, they're brain dead. But as I say that, I'm like, oh, they very well could be brain dead.
Yeah.
They very well could be.
I started to see a flood of tweets this morning, man, of like the Brunson fourth quarter things are like amazing. Like he's put up some stats this finals in a pretty ridiculous fourth quarter. So could voters just look at that? Yeah, we've seen worse, man. But I hear you, it would be OG for me.
And too. NBA awards voters notoriously are the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Fake follower. I cashed this. Oh, this. First of all, this is amazing. I don't even know. We were talking about this off here. I don't know if this. Where does this bet exist? So he has, fake follower has a bet. The Spurs at 16-1. The bet, team to record 100 plus points in the first three quarters. I remember the Spurs had 76 points at halftime. He says, if there were scored, if they just need 24 points at halftime, I was thinking, what could possibly go wrong? They get 14. He loses the bet. Love the show. Thank you. He loses out on a 16-1. 100 points first three quarters. LFC title record saying egg on his face. He says, remember those, this was midway through the game when the Spurs were crushing him. He said, remember those people who said they'd wait until the Spurs were up by 10, then bet the Knicks? You think they're doubling down now? He's like, egg on my face. John Massey, you mean to tell me OG for MVP at 60-1 has a chance? Yeah, it's got a chance.
For sure.
Vegas regular, the biggest gag in sports history. Not the Falcons, not Greg Norman, not the Yankees. He says it's this. Which Yankees one is he referring to?
Oh, Red Sox.
Red Sox, 78, yeah. Uncle Bush, did you see Cat? Oh, I'm glad you brought this up, Uncle Bush. Did you see Cat on the final inbounds pass? Otherwise, Castle has a wide-open lay-in. Yes, I didn't mention in the recap, my bad, but they also completely downplayed it, didn't really mention it at all on the broadcast.
Yeah.
That final inbounds pass with 1.2 seconds left, Castle got behind everybody at the bucket, and Cat's right hand, his right the fingertips on his right hand tipped the inbounds pass. That's why it was
Kind of figured that watching it live, but you never saw a good close-up look on the broadcast. You could see it all over social media today. But yeah, the game's over. Everybody's partying afterward. But you were like, that pass was terrible. Something had to have happened.
And last point here, last tweet here before we get to Jake. Brian Point Shaver, do you know what the live line was when the Knicks were down 29? So I wondered about this. Most places probably didn't have up a money line. If they did, I was sort of looking up at some spots. Somebody was talking about it was, I don't know, someone on Twitter was like 130. I have no idea what, I don't know who posted it, is basically my answer to that question. When you're down 29, you'll see a lot of, hey, plus 25 and a half, plus 22 and a half, that kind of thing. But I don't know that anybody put up a money line. I could be very mistaken about that. Let's go to hockey because it is the greatest combined NBA Finals and NHL Stanley Cup Final maybe in history through four games respectively on both. Jay Khan joins us now from north of the border, Toronto, Canada. You can follow him on Twitter at jayhan4. Once again, co-host on The Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM NHL. Jake, that was something last night, wasn't it?
A tough act to follow, I'll say, for the NHL, even though the Stanley Cup Finals, guys, has been incredible through four games, as you know, lead changes. And now we're looking at the NBA, and we saw what we saw last night with that huge comeback. We've had a four-goal lead in the NHL in the third period blown in these cup final, in this cup final. Now, Carolina couldn't complete that comeback. Ultimately, Vegas actually won that game in double overtime. But it's just wild. No lead is safe, apparently, in the NHL and the NBA, guys. And as a big OG Anunoby fan from his time here in Toronto, I was really happy to see him have that moment late in the game. I guess they got to start building that OG tip rebound statue outside of MSG here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, you know, give us the hockey fundamentals on Shea Theodore. Instead of sort of setting that puck around the boards in game four, game's tied up 3-3. He goes right in front of the goal. I don't know if it gets batted down, but he's still trying to get it right in front of the goal. It gets intercepted. Wes Jarvis ends up with it. He misses, but he gets the rebound. He finds Ehlers, who then finds Jordan Staal, who scores the go-ahead goal, falling down. Eventually, an empty netter gives Carolina a two-goal lead in game four. How bad of a blunder is that? And then we were sort of saying yesterday on the show, this is just anecdotal, Jake, going around our friends here who love the Vegas Golden Knights. It felt like the air came out of the balloon for a lot of our buddies here. They just feel sort of distraught. Do you have that same sense?
I don't, just because this series has been so back and forth. I get it, because you have a chance to go up 3-1 if you just score a goal in that third period and you're up 3-1 and you have a chance to basically have a stranglehold on this series. So I certainly understand that from a fan standpoint, but I can't predict this thing at all, guys. If I'm a Knights fan right now, obviously I'd love to be up 3-1, but I'm still thinking this team's been resilient. They could certainly go into Carolina and win a game. We saw them right in there in both games in Carolina. So home road doesn't seem to matter, guys, in the NHL or even the NBA. Now, I know the Knicks came back and won on home court last night, but it didn't look like it for most of that game. So road teams have had a lot of success in the NBA, and it doesn't seem to matter where we're playing these games in the NHL either. You play all year for home ice advantage, and then you kind of throw it out the window once we get to the biggest series of the year.
Last thing before we get your bets here, does Vegas have a decision to make in goal?
I don't think that we're going to see a change in goal for Vegas. Now, Carter Hart has not played well in this cup final. I will say that. I just don't think you're throwing in a goaltender cold at this point. Now, I know you could say Carolina did exactly that, but they had a situation where they were down 4-0 in a game that looked totally over on the weekend. So, okay, let's put Bussy out there, see what happens. They ultimately end up coming back and forcing overtime, and Bussy gets the benefit of getting to play two periods and change. So I think that really helped Rod Brindamore's decision. And speculation, maybe Frederik Andersen might even be hurt. He didn't even dress for the last
game.
That's
right.
We'll see what happens tonight. So I'd expect it to be Bussy again for Carolina. And no, I don't expect a change for the Vegas Golden Knights. I think they just go Carter Hart until this series is over, for better or for worse. I don't think you're putting another goaltender in now.
Yeah, Rod Brindamore's explanation as to Andersen not even suiting up was pretty interesting, where he's like, well, he just needed a full break. Right. We just needed him to, like, you know, paraphrasing, just
two days off between games wasn't enough. That was the strange part to me, Gil, where I said we had the long layoff between games and he needs another day. That, and he did take a bump in the head on a goal that was called back ultimately on goaltender interference, and some speculation out there. And Frederik Andersen has a long history of injuries, guys. So everyone's going to run to that conclusion right away.
All right. So no extra day here for cross country travel. Game 5 tonight. Yep. At Carolina in Raleigh. Carolina's -155 favorite. Let's start with the side. How are you betting the side here?
I have to take Vegas just strictly on the odds here, guys. I've been pro Carolina all postseason long and most of this series as well. But if I see anybody hovering around +140 on the money line in this series, I got to take them, just because this series has been so close. You could argue it could be 2-2, which it is, 3-1 for either team. It could be 4-0 for one team if the coin flipped the right way in all four games. That's how tight this series has been. So I don't think anybody should be +140. I don't care where the game is being played. I got to take Vegas on the money line here. The only issue here, guys, is their starts have been really poor in this series. So there's potential that maybe Carolina does get out to a good start and you actually get a better live line on Vegas. That's my only concern, where I'm thinking, am I going to take this +140? And then I'm going to see a +250 live in the first period and say, I probably should have waited. But that's got to be something Vegas is focused on, John Tortorella and company, that they have to get out to a better start, because the first periods have not been their friend in this series.
What do you make of that, by the way, Jake? Anything to that?
There's got to be something to it. Now, it could just be Carolina being more ready to play the game and Vegas struggling with something in that first period. But I want to point out the second period for Vegas has been even more lopsided than it has been in favor for Carolina in the first period. So something to look out for if you are watching this game tonight, whether it's maybe you want to jump in on Vegas live if they get down heading into the second period, or maybe you just want to bet a second period money line on the Vegas Golden Knights, because they have owned that period against the Carolina Hurricanes throughout the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, it's been crazy like that as well. All right, how about some prop bets tonight? What are you playing?
I'm going to go back to Jordan Staal. I have to, guys, after that last game. This has been a heroic cup final for Jordan Staal, and now he's inserted himself in the Conn Smythe conversation. I saw some people grab 175-1 tickets on Jordan Staal, if you were quick enough. Guy scored in every game so far. He has 5 goals in 4 games. The shot prop is now, you know, we're going to have to pay a little bit of juice if you want 2 shots. So I'd play it up to 3 shots for Staal. He's on that first power play right now. He's a focal point in all the offense for Carolina at the moment. Brandon Bussy over saves. This is strictly a number play, over 20.5 for Brandon Bussy. Now, Carolina suppresses shots as good as anybody in the league, but that number is just too low. And Vegas has found a way to slip through Carolina at times in this series. Obviously a huge game tonight. So 20.5, I think, is just a low number for a save prop. I'll play the over on Brandon Bussy there.
Jake, just going to ask you just for the feel. What's your instinct? Who wins this?
I got to stick with Carolina. I can't abandon them, even though I did say I like Vegas tonight. That's strictly just based on the odds and a little bit of value. I smell with that +140, but I'm going to take Carolina to find a way to get this thing done.
Yeah. Feels like a lot of people who have that instinct around here. We'll see. It's hockey. It's a best of 3. Anything can happen. Every game's its own entity. Jake, enjoy. We hope to talk to you next week.
Hopefully, maybe we're teeing up a game 7, guys, next week. I can't wait.
That's right. Thank you, Jake. Enjoy tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Jake Hahn, everybody. Jay Hahn, HAHN4. Coming back with Zach Cohen on the end.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Hey.
Producer number 9, so much more than a producer. Alongside World Cup with Paul Carr coming up. We'll rehash our Survivor entries. Yes?
Yes, we will.
We'll recap those as the World Cup begins in just over 4 hours.
And all of our razor-sharp bets to go along with
them. Oh, razor-sharp. That's right.
Watch out.
Not just sharp, razor-sharp. We get tweets, beat of the book. 3 Jacques, H3131. I got OG at 50-1 for MVP before the series, which means they're absolutely giving the MVP to Brunson. How many? What percentage of gamblers do you think have this same attitude?
Yeah.
That's great.
You should definitely have your antennas up. Be concerned. I would not be counting that money yet. That's for sure.
One of the stats
I found for you: most points per game in the fourth quarter of NBA Finals since 1997. Jalen Brunson, 10.3 points per game.
That's all they'll need. That's all they'll need.
This is what I'm talking about. Yeah. There's enough of this and like the clutch Brunson stuff that it could just be handed to him.
Just completely ignore the guy in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Go with that. Kenny Dillingham, sexual. Shake up in the threes leader market after last night. OG now in the lead at -450. Vassell, 3 back at 5-1. And Champagne out to 15-1. Said any bets? Yes. I'm not touching it.
There was one text message I saw before I went to sleep finally last night, and it was our dear Zach Cohen texting something about this. I'm like, this has got to be over, right? I'm like, I can't think about this anymore.
Well, we'll talk to Zach here momentarily. Sean's Fox plays. Besides Fox being a moron, his words, a lot of the blame has to be on Mitch Johnson. It's well known that starters get complacent when you're up big. He should have taken the first 6 minutes of the fourth quarter to rest his guys. You could clearly say they were exhausted and lost their legs. Someone was saying, Sean's Fox plays, that if this was Pop would have totally, after seeing jacking up threes,
yeah,
he would have totally cleared the court and put in 5 bench guys until they shaped up.
There was about 7 different moments in the fourth quarter. I was like, Mitch Johnson, you're going to call a timeout? Like, why are you letting this continue? It's all madness out here. Dylan Harper's last shot came with over 10 minutes left on the clock in the game. Dylan Harper, again, one of their most effective players of the game. And the Wemby's, the managing Wemby's minutes was criminal. He should not, in a game that was a 20-plus point lead for that much of the game, you can't finish the game with 44 minutes. He was exhausted when you needed him the most.
And as far as the odds, Vegas regular says, I saw a 25-1 when the Knicks were down, which was very short. John Fairchild said he saw a 17-1 at halftime on the Knicks. Sean's Fox plays add, OG gets his game-winning shot, which should cash our 40-1. He's already confident about it.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Downs, brother from another, orange and blue skies. What's worse, 28-3? Comeback or 29-point lead, third quarter blown lead? 28-3, obviously making reference to the Atlanta Falcons and the New England Patriots in that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Tim Bowers, as a young coach who got his team to the finals early in their coaching career, ever shortened his job leash more than Mitch? Also, Barkley correctly calling violent Knicks fans scumbags and the Spurs the dumbest team ever in the same day is legendary. And on, we'll get to more. Zach Cohen, the aforementioned, joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Follow him on Twitter at BettingOnX, part of the whole glue that holds this whole operation together. Zach, we don't want to ever be prisoner of the moment, but you ever seen anything like that?
Can't say that I have. I mean, the closest would have been last series, game one against the Cavaliers. It was very, very similar, 22 points in less time. I did kind of feel like this was going that way once it got down to 20. I think Kelly hit the nail on the head. The shot selection for the Spurs was absolutely terrible in that third quarter. It was like they had no interest in continuing to play the type of basketball that got them that lead in the first place. I know that part of it was probably they wanted to just make shots. They thought that they were going to hit everything because they were hitting everything in that first half, but they were taking terrible shots, and Mitch Johnson was not slowing things down, as my daughter screams in the background again. She's not happy about it either.
She's not happy.
I do think that Johnson did a really poor job in this game. Between the poor timeouts, you know, spacing, not getting them to actually do anything in those timeouts. If they were coming out of those timeouts and doing the exact same things that they were doing right before. And I thought that he made some mistakes in the first half with maybe letting some challenges go. Like I thought Stephon Castle should not have been in foul trouble, and he probably opted to save his challenges later on, or decided that it was too big of a blowout to even go, you know, through the process. But not having Castle for even those short stints in the third quarter definitely hurt them.
Also, did he have a challenge left when they ruled Castle out of bounds? Because I don't think Castle was out of bounds with like just over a minute left.
I don't
know. I thought that he did.
I did too.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Spurs, as it is now, 5-point favorites in game five back in San Antonio on Saturday night. Now, if you are a Spurs fan or a Spurs backer, what the sort of thing to, I don't know, is, you know, first of all, there's the whole notion, can you bounce back from giving up a 29-point lead, which, of course, is going to be ad nauseum discussed. But the thing that you do rely on, and I know home court hasn't mattered, but you do say to yourself, self, we do have home court, game five, and a potential game seven, right? So if we win game five, it's a sphincter-tightening game for the Knicks back at Madison Square Garden in game six. As is the case now, the Spurs are 5-point favorites in game five Saturday night. What do you feel about that number?
Yeah, I think if I'm going to take anything in this game in terms of the side or total, I'm going to lay it with the Spurs. I feel like I've just seen – I haven't seen a single person that really believes in San Antonio coming back to win this series at this point. And you look at some of the early betting splits, and it's like 98% of the money and tickets on the Knicks.
Yeah.
I do like to fade the public when I can, and this definitely is shaping up to be a major, major, you know, public underdog in New York. I think everybody wants this thing to end right now. I think everybody thinks this series is over. I think that that's always really dangerous. I think the Spurs still feel like they've controlled this series, you know, for four games, and they just let them all get away. I do get nervous about what it would look like in the final 3 minutes.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that's painfully clear in this series, it's that they don't have any offense in the half court. The Knicks know exactly what they want to do in the half court. And Fox has been the exact opposite of what they brought him in to be. But I do think you take some learnings from that game four loss. And at the end of this game, you're going to see a lot more Harper if it is close. And I just kind of feel like maybe that's the turning of the page moment that they needed to really roll the ball out to Harper and make him, you know, your alpha on the ball.
Let me sort of rephrase it, which is, of any team in the history of an NBA best of seven that has been down 3-1, the Spurs have perhaps as much justification or more than any other team to be down 3-1 to say to themselves, we can do this. Like, we've been up again, double digits four times in a row. But your point is also the thing that's has to be in the back of their minds, especially after blowing a 29-point lead in the second half, which is, who kind of cares how much we're up if we aren't capable of holding that lead? My God. So it's just this amazing dynamic. What prop bet did you end up playing here for game five?
I'm taking Devin Vassell over 2.5 made threes again, plus 118. This was plus 120 last night, and it did hit in the first quarter, actually. Just, you know, the afterthought of all afterthoughts when you're talking about the Knicks and their scouting report, and he is a very reliable three-point shooter. Like, if he's open, he's going to knock them down. I think that's especially true with this series heading back to San Antonio. I feel like the comfort level is going to go up. These players can't possibly be happy playing in New York right now with eggs being thrown at their heads. So I do think Vassell will be excited about being home, like many of the Spurs will. But this is a guy that's been playing really good defense as well, playing around 40 minutes per game. It's a little surprising to see plus money odds on his over when now it's been three games in a row that he has gone over that total.
We took a brief look at title odds for next year. Spurs are the short shot. You know, as much distance between them and OKC as we've seen thus far, I think Spurs were about plus 235. OKC was about plus 275. And we went down the board and I thought of you because there was Indiana at 25-1. You still think they're sort of the best value on the futures board next year?
Yeah, I think if Halliburton's even remotely healthy, which, you know, he went through a lot. You tore his Achilles. What do you have, shingles? Like, it's been a really tough couple of months for Halliburton. But from what I've seen, like in terms of on-court workouts and stuff, it does look like he's progressing, looks really good. He's doing some full court stuff. And I think Ivica Zubac is one of the most underappreciated players in the league. And I think that what he does is especially valuable in kind of this new NBA where, you know, offensive rebounding is back and like sexy again. It's not all about knocking down threes. I think that his bruising style in the paint combined with what the Pacers already did so well with moving the ball, rolling out 8-9 guys that can play really good basketball, I think they're going to be really, really good. I think there's a chance that they're the best team in the Eastern Conference next year.
All right. Just to be thorough, no grass court tennis for you today? Nothing left?
I need Taylor Fritz to win his match coming up in order to close out a parlay from, it might have been 2 days ago. I forget, honestly, but there's been so many rain delays. This is what I complained about a week ago. Like, they just don't ever seem to finish these matches. or play the matches they're supposed to be playing. It's not just the rain delays, by the way. It's the light delay. There's not enough light on the court when everyone can see. It's just the rules at this time of year. There are no rules.
There are no rules. And then just real quick, because everybody relies on you for tennis gossip as well, through our buddy Mitch, Taylor Fritz, Morgan Riddle, they have broken up. Morgan Riddle has put out her manifesto, the 33 things I require in my next boyfriend. We're all eliminated. She doesn't want a gambler. Everybody's out.
Shucks.
Yeah, no gamblers, and that is a really good title for a rom-com.
That's right. not that I like her or anything. Thank you. Appreciate it, Zach.
Thank you.